Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That is Ben. Hello, Benuni Tunes.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Everybody, welcome to the show. Today is Below Deck Day. If you want this on video, as usual, you can get it at Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Also, where you get our bonus episodes. Last week was a fun personal one where we were talking about coyotes and our fun personal lives, our action-packed personal lives. This week is a trailer trash for the new Real Housewives of New York season coming out soon. And you can also get our Discord server to chat with each other, a free weekly newsletter that's basically kind of a recap of all the shows that we talk about here, and ad-free listening, which is a big one. So thanks to everybody who's over on Patreon. Thanks for everybody who came out to Crappy Hour last night. That was a really fun one. We talked about Valley fashions for the reunion, which were terrifying. And today I have a hole in my sock, and one of my big toes is kind of breaking out of the sock. And so I'm just seeing part of the big toe. And it does look kind of like Britney's dress in that reunion.
Just put a little bow on it.
Looking not cute, and I should be buying something else and considering my toe fashion, because it's embarrassing, even though I'm the only one who sees it.
Yeah, wow. Brittany is just getting it from all ends from the internet about her look, and she should. It's bad. It's really one of the bottom three worst looks we've ever seen on any reunion across all franchises, all Bravo shows, for sure.
Oh, well, bless her heart.
God bless it. God bless it. Well,
at least here we are. Well, at least what now?
At least my transition was going to be, at least it doesn't have Luke's cum stains on it.
Well, yeah, that's one way to look at anything, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a positive way to look at really anything. My car is dirty, but at least it's not covered in Luke's cum. So that's good.
Yeah,
so Below Deck Med, Season 11, Episode 8. He came, they saw, it's bonkers.
See what they did there? See what they did? The pun?
Yeah.
It's not Bravo's best work. He came, they saw, it's bonkers.
Yeah. They've had a lot of good cum titles over the past few weeks. So, you know, I guess cut him a break. You know,
I will. I
think they load over there.
Why don't they say he came, he saw, he was conquered? I don't know.
Yeah, he came, he saw. Yeah, he was conquered. Yeah, and conquered, or just something. Came, saw, conquered. That would work. Just came, saw, conquered. I don't know.
How about came, saw, anchored? He came, he saw, he anchored. How about that? That's actually the best one. Of those three. Admittedly, they're all three not so great. But whatever. Moving on.
We are at the final night of the charter. And Luke is in the process of quitting with Sandy. And she's just looking at... I mean, just the look on Sandy's face is so fucking funny. She does not know what to do in this situation. And Luke is playing this big victim game because he doesn't, you know, I guess it's that rather quit than get fired, but you're already going to have the report about you. So,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe try and redeem yourself in some way, but I guess he's never going to live this one down. So bye. He can make a pretty little victim wretched story in his mind.
Yeah, seriously. So he's telling Sandy with watery eyes, the last couple of days have been particularly tough for me, and I feel like being in the team right now is causing a bit of disruption, but I just don't know anymore. I just don't want any more tension. It's breaking the flow, and I think the best thing for me is to leave. I'm like, flow again. Let's use our words properly. Sandy's
no like, one would have ever even known had there not been a leak. Like, okay, Luke, okay. You know, maybe write this out first. Before you come up
just an explosion of emotions. So then Sandy goes, and you came to that decision based on... Sandy could also use some work with her words. So where I can't even tell if you're coming or going. Like, what, where did this even come out? This really came out of left field, huh?
So, okay, so you're saying this affected people and you're being affected? Like, I don't get it. What are you saying? I guess I respect you for that. I do. I respect, for whatever you're saying, I respect that. Okay. He's like, it is not with ease that I do all of this. All right, Shakespeare. Well, to come or not to come, you came. Okay. So there you go. There you go, Oedipus.
I'll tell you what else was not with ease was cleaning those sheets because you couldn't even do them. So, hey, you know what? I respect Luke's decision. It actually helps everything that I was going through mentally trying to figure out how to handle this. I think it's the right choice and I'm grateful that he's doing this. Sandy's just so happy that that this was all sorted itself out, that she doesn't have to make a decision because she really did not know what to do. Even though I think if she watches this back, she would realize there really is only one path forward.
Yeah, but she's flummoxed. So she's like, wow, yeah, thank God he took care of that. And he says, I'd like to keep it a secret for now. Oh, I'm sorry, did we just have sex? And I don't, that's normally something you say to people after you have sex with them. He's like, oh, no, just this part. Tomorrow after this hit meeting, I'll take my final bow. I don't want to upset any flow. She's like, oh, gosh, wow. Sounds good. Jeez. Really didn't. Choice of words.
This is his whole thing, is he just loves having people be bound by secrets at all times. And then he tells other people, like, Nathan, just don't tell anyone. It's a secret. Like, he's constantly making people have secrets, which I feel like is some weird manipulation. Even though you wouldn't think that this would be a manipulation, because, you know, at first it's like, okay, I don't want to create a distraction. I'll just leave tomorrow. I'll announce it tomorrow. But then he winds up like packing his bag sort of in broad daylight where it'll be discovered. So I don't really get this guy. So now in the galley, Joy and Aisha are there. And Joy is like, Aisha, I was planning to put some roasted bell pepper on the tacos, but now that she has cut me off everywhere, I'm fucking terrorized. And we see that... terrorized by the bell pepper rejection.
Do you have, and it was green bell pepper, you know, specifically green bell pepper, she said. But, you know, still.
What's her face?
You never know with this lady.
She said she didn't want green bell pepper.
Yeah, she's like, I don't like green bell pepper. She's like, okay, but I made bell pepper. What do I do? She's right. I think she made a good decision.
In not having green bell pepper or red bell pepper.
And not because having red, because she said she didn't want green she said she didn't want green bell pepper, but she roasted a red bell pepper. And she was like, I was going to use this red bell pepper, but she said she got pissed off about the bell pepper, so I shouldn't use it, right? Yeah. People do have a certain hatred for only green bell peppers, though. It's a thing.
Yeah, they are worse. They're the worst of the bell peppers. They're more bitter or something. I have one actually in my fridge right now that someone gave me, and I'm like, what do I do with it? Because it's like the most inferior of the peppers.
It's the most inferior. I don't know that the taste is hugely different for myself, but people, I think that the red and orange and yellow ones are just more vibrant and they look better in a salad, and they're more expensive, I guess. Is that it? And they're sweeter, you say?
Yeah, they're sweeter.
Well, I don't know. Every time
I'm gonna look at the internet right
green
now.
Bell pepper, I've been like, oh my God, I really have no taste that I'm eating a green bell pepper, because I know that people would judge it. But you know, I always do feel bad for that green bell pepper.
Well, guess what, Ronnie? Red and green bell peppers differ mainly in ripeness, taste, and nutrition. Green peppers are harvested early, which I should have been able to tell you because I have a bell pepper plant and they start off as green and then they turn red. So they're harvested while they're immature. They're harvested when they don't have a good work ethic yet. Yeah. Whereas red peppers are left on the vine to fully ripen. So green peppers taste grassy, crisp, and slightly bitter. And they work well in savory cooked dishes like fajitas and stir fried. But red peppers taste sweet and fruity, and they are softer than green peppers and ideal for eating raw, roasting, or blending into sauces and adding natural sweetness.
There you go.
So there's something to it. There's something to it.
Or something.
Just know that.
Not just pepper bigotry.
You know that our primary here, Suzanne, she doesn't want an immature pepper. She's like, I've gotten to the place in my life where I am looking for love and I'm not going to deal with immature men or peppers.
Yeah. Well, that's our only choice on this boat as far as the men goes. Oh, coyote's out there. That little fucker.
Really?
Yes.
Show everyone.
Well, I don't know that you can see it really well.
Talk about immature. Talk about it. The green pepper of wildlife, the coyote.
Little asshole coyote. Hold on, let me.
Immature, grassy, slightly bitter. Yeah, that's a coyote.
Whatever. It's just running around.
Show us. Show us.
No.
What? Show us.
Hold on. Well, I'm going to have to wait for it to process.
The internet's going to be like, oh my God. Watch it turn into like the next Jimothy. And you're like, I fucking hate this thing. And everyone's like, oh, but it's Jimothy. Jimothy the
coyote version. That's what they do say. They're going to be like, this is adorable. Oh, there was a new Jimothy video. Something. This little fucker.
There's a new Jimothy video that dropped today. Someone found him. And Jimothy just like walked across the yard and then did a backflip and then walked away.
Jimothy.
Ronnie's consumed by the coyote right now.
Well, yeah, because you're telling me to show him. Hold on, I'm going to show him lifting his... Oh, no, he was sniffing.
Okay.
Here, can you see him?
Wow.
He's up there sniffing up to the sky. Look at him posing to the camera. He's like, get this angle of me.
It's me. It's like, I know you're recording right now. It's actually adorable. You got a text message. It's a very adorable image. It's just like sniffing a leaf.
Well, that's the thing about them. They're actually really cute. And I love dogs, but they're, you know, trying to murder Bueller. So, you know, this is him just showing me his best angle. He's like, I see you, camera. I see you. Asshole. I was just thinking today, wow, it's the first day I haven't had the coyote in a week. And here he is. Okay. The point is bell peppers, you guys, there is a difference. So then Aisha's advice is don't do the bell pepper. Just let the guacamole shine. And it's so nice to have somebody stick up for guac like that. She's like a stage mom of guac. She is sick. She raised this avocado and she is not going to let anybody tell it. It's not good enough to be in the front row of this dance.
That green pepper and that red pepper, the last thing that they want to do is let that guacamole shine. They're looking at that guacamole like the beginning of Soap Dish. Bitch, hag, I hate her so much. Because when you say like, oh, let the guacamole shine, is there any condiment, especially in a Mexican restaurant, that shines as much as guacamole? Guacamole, like when people, this is what happens when you sit down in a Mexican restaurant. Okay, I think I'm gonna have tacos, maybe enchiladas. I mean, we're definitely getting the guacamole, right? Oh, definitely getting the guacamole. Like everyone makes it a thing. And then some restaurants, a whole big ass cart arrives, like Lady Guacamole arrives in her chariot and they're like, tableside guacamole. And then they like make it for you and they put it out. Everyone's like, oh my God, this guac is amazing. The guacamole, like the idea that the guacamole needs to shine is so hilarious when it has all spotlights on it at all times at all tables. And the pepper, you know, the pepper's just sitting there like, but I don't even have a platform. You wouldn't even let me
seriously
let me audition,
especially the green pepper. Yeah.
Especially, well, it's immature.
They've really figured it out at those restaurants where they're like, well, everyone gets guacamole. So how can we make this between $30 and $50? Okay, let's call it tableside guacamole. And we'll offer to throw some pomegranate seeds as an add-on. And they're giving you guac and you're ending up like, you'll get the bill and be like, why was this $50? And like, because we did a tableside. You mushed a mushy thing.
You did the
you mushed a mushy thing in front of me.
You just rolled it out.
Like, I'm fine with fridge guac. Jeez, save me some money. How am I going to send these kids to college? Tableside guac.
That tableside guac comes out. It's like, oh, let's let that guacamole shine. No one ever really thinks about it.
That's the discussion of food. And Joy is talking about how Suzanne is very demanding. And when she criticized my food, it broke my heart. Cooking saved me from all my heartbreak. And then she tells us a really sad story that her mom passed away when she was just 20, which was crazy. That's terrible. And I mean, I was thinking that's such a hard age to lose your mom. I think they're all hard, but
they're all hard.
Hey, let's rank on which is a worse age to lose your mom. So,
right.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, this is super sad. And she went crazy with drinking and going out and partying and stuff after her mom passed away. And then cooking saved her.
Yeah. And also, it's been 12 years and she still can't talk about it. She's like, I cannot do it. And she's just crying there on camera. And then she said that focusing on talent saved her and it made her bulletproof. And when she's like, she struggles when she's vulnerable again. And she's very proud of basically how far she's come and what she's done. Then everyone's like,
well, I think it's time then to let your talent shine. And by you, I mean guacamole. Shine, guacamole, shine.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And then people are trying on like different, like Stu's and Sandy are putting on the little furry ears because it's a furry dinner party night and everything. And then Suzanne and Will are talking upstairs and Will's like, so tell me about yourself. Do you ever put your hair in a ponytail too? And she's like, well, I put a lot of pressure on myself to look a certain way. Then I'll feel more comfortable and confident. You know, that's just the life of a curriculum maker. Am I right? And he's like, yeah.
Who wants a math book written by a fuggo, you know?
Just because algebra is frumpy doesn't mean I have to be. Although she actually teaches creative writing. I wrote that line creatively.
Hemingway could have been something if he just had some abs. Am I right? I mean.
Hemingway could have been renamed Hemingway Cool. Am I right? Creative writing. So Suzanne's saying that she puts pressure on herself to look good. And he's like, well, I mean, me too. I mean, hey, that's all humans. That's exactly me too. Wow, I really like you. Yeah. Want to go eat? Yeah, let's go eat. I hope there's no bell pepper stealing the spotlight at the table. That's for sure.
You know, I love when people find romance based on truly deep things about themselves. I like looking hot. I like looking hot too. Do you want to get married, Will? Let's do this. So now we go to the bridge, and Sandy is watching another show. It's her favorite show. The new season has just begun. We really haven't seen much of the show this season, but she's staring at the screen. She's like, oh my God, there it is. Madeline Stowe didn't even change her hair this season. Thank God. Fresh Botox though. It's wind. 20 knots of wind is coming in tonight. Oh, geez. We're going to have to head back to the dock.
Wow. This is it's a two-parter episode. It's very scary. We're gonna go back in, you know? Oh, no, but this is our second night docking, and you just want things to go smoothly, but with wind picking up and the constant crosswind in this marina, and also those partiers, goddamn those people having fun. Night docking is the right call.
Although the constant crosswind is played by Dame Judi Dench, so it's only so much complaining you can have. Who's going to win this one? I just need Edward James Olmos to come in as light mist to really make this complete.
Fun fact, the last guy that Norma went on a date with was named Edward James Olmos, as in, oh, he almost sat down for the full date.
Suzanne, we're going to leave here to dock because we have some weather coming in tomorrow. Okay, it's big. It's big. Just go home and turn on Windflix if anybody wants to catch up, okay? Gonna get to my Reddit thread. Interior, Aisha is telling Kaylee that they're shifting to dinner. So then she goes to talk to Suzanne, and she goes, have you been with Will this whole time? She goes, yeah, we've been talking about like how nice it is to not be ugly. She's like, oh yeah, starts like humping the air. It's like, oh yeah.
I'm so invested in this matchmaking situation. I think Will is the strongest contender right now, mainly because the rest are all trash. I mean, she seems to have an interest in Billy, which makes no sense because he's incredibly rude. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
They're pulling the anchor because it's time to go to Port Cruz, Dubrovnik. 10 minutes, dun, dun, dun. The guys are getting ready for dinner, and they're talking about furries, and Will's like, I mean, does our hostess know what this is? Is she really into this? Like, Am I about to get married to somebody who's going to want me to fuck a dog? Just can somebody tell me right now? And I don't know what the furry thing is either. Really, I know what it is, but I don't know the technicalities of like. Do you pretend you're a dog? I mean, I see people in the in the ears and stuff, but how far do you go with that? Be on a tree.
Yeah, well, it also felt like they weren't really doing the furry thing. They just had little furry headbands on. And one guy actually had like little paws on his hand, but it was a light furry situation. It was not, they didn't really like dive into it, you know? But I still don't really get the furry thing as a sexual kink, I have to say. Like, that's one thing I've just not been able to understand. I will respect it. If that's your thing, it's your thing. I literally just don't get it.
Yeah, not dissing it. I guess I've never known a furry well enough to explain it to me. You know, I've just known, I've just seen it and been like, oh, love your ears, your leash.
Yeah.
You can, the fact that you just peed on the table leg. All right. So now Suzanne and Joy are talking, and Suzanne, if you guys like Suzanne and you're wondering why are these guys so mean to Suzanne? She says things like this. Hello, Joy. Are you going to bring us some joy tonight?
She's like, of course, I've never heard that before. Ugh. She's like, I hope so. I really hope so. She's like, yes, I really hope so. I mean, what's also Joy supposed to say? No, I will not bring you any joy. You're going to have a terrible meal. Enjoy.
I'm cooking you poison and shit.
Yeah.
So then she's doing it in that. It's not, dinner's not going to suck tonight. Right, Joy. You've been pretty disappointing so far. Right, Joy. It's like, don't worry. It will be great.
Over on the bridge, Sandy pulls in Nathan and she's like, hey, look at the wind. It's so good this season, right? What a great season premiere. He's like, oh, I know. I can see the flags are going crazy. She's like, oh, yeah. I hope I can dock it. Wow, this episode's just amazing right now. He's like, all right, deck team, start getting the lines out to the main deck aft, please. So then everyone goes to the dinner table and the crew is docking the boat and everything. And it's one of those things where like the crew is working really hard. It's high stress, but the people are eating dinner and it's like, they have no idea what's happening outside.
But with cat ears, you know, Captain Sandy's standing on the deck, looking through her binoculars with some cat ears. She's like, whoa, do I see? Okay. I need you to go 10 meters towards the scratching post. Okay.
Sandy, I do not understand. Is there any lasagna on the deck? Because I love lasagna. And Sandy's like, do these people ever start partying over there? And they, you know, because there's a party boat that's making a lot of noise, that's making it hard for them. But what I think is so funny is that, like, the below deck boat comes into the harbor. And of all the yachts, it's the one that's the most lit up. Because obviously there's, like, you know, production cameras and lighting in the over the entire yacht. So this big ball of light just, like, comes into the dock. I'm like, you know, you're pretty disruptive, too. You know, all the other yachts are like, oh, God, here comes the TV yacht again. Watch out.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like me complaining about the sound of my neighbor's car when I'm in my house, like banging on the piano and singing show tunes at the top of my lungs. Like, if I can hear their car, I guarantee they hear this queen of the house pretending he's Eponine from Les Miserables 3 hours a day. You know, so, and then I'm like, how dare you? Your car is too loud. Oh, jeez. Oh, the ear, my ears. So Nathan is making some effort to get this boat in, and we just hear woohoo from all the partying, and they did it. Guys, that was some seamless communication. Everybody is getting a little ball made out of cage with a jingle thing inside of it. Have fun.
Now, excuse me, I am just going to bend over on this floor here and do this for the next 2 minutes.
I think that we're done docking. Sandy is up there licking her own hoo-ha, so I think that means we're finished.
The fur ball is out, and I'm here just grooming myself. If anyone needs me, I will be rubbing up against your shins.
So now dessert prep is, oh, well, they get dinner and Suzanne loves it today. She's like, whoa, there was a mole. Oh, that is not hard to do. Trust me, I'm somebody who teaches writing places. That is very, very good. Congratulations to her. Whoa.
Wow.
She did it.
She went from guacamole just to mole. I mean, she really covered all the bases with the moles. And then Luke is helping Joy with the desserts, and Jen is in the pantry just like watching jealously. And then Sandy is like, hey, bloop. Hey, Norma. Hi. Checking in on available deckhands again. Could use someone earlier than expected. Anyone available? Anyone available, Norma? Please help a girl out. Bloop.
Bloop. Well, you know, I normally have a line of people waiting because I know you're never going to make it through one season with your staff intact. Only a competent boss would be able to do that. But give me a sec. Bloop.
Wow. So that must be the exact opposite of what your dating profile looks like. Me having a line of people waiting to get on my boat. You know what I'm saying?
Bloop. Yeah, well, actually, there's a line of people waiting to not get on your boat. There's so many people who don't want to work for you. I actually have to turn the other side of their CV over and pretend I didn't see that in the first. I'm trying to trick people to get onto your boat. Bloop.
Oh, is that like how when you go on a date, when guys walk in and sit down at the table, you make sure you're sitting away from them so they don't see your face?
Bloop. Bloop. I'm sorry, we don't all have Geraldine Fierros around to fill us with confidence that's been unearned. Okay. Bloop.
I don't know if you were trying to reference Geraldine Ferraro or Gigi Fernandez, but your lack of attention to the detail in this matter proves why you're lonely.
Bloop. Bloop. Which one was running for president? Bloop.
Geraldine was vice president to Walter Mondale in his presidential run in 1984. Maybe you'd know that if you spent less time combing your hair and more time reading books.
Bloop. Bloop. That's the one I meant. I contacted her. Even she doesn't want to work for you. And she lost with Mondale.
Bloop. She died many years ago. You've lost your mind officially, Norma.
Bloop. I'm telling you, I've even started interviewing in hell. You can't even get anyone to come up from hell to work with you.
Bloop. Well, guess what? I just emailed Geraldine Ferraro from hell, and she says, guess what? And I said, wait, that's funny, because I just started a sentence by saying, guess what? She goes, get to the point. I said, hey, do you want to work on this boat, or would you be interested in having a lesbian affair with Norma? And Geraldine said, I would rather go dance with Ronald Reagan.
Bloop. Bloop. Well, I've got video now of you licking your own hoo-ha while you were coughing up a furball. So you say anything more to me, Geraldine Ferraro, and everyone else is going to get this video.
Bloop. Well, I'm going to treat you the way I treat any cucumber I see lying on the floor. I'm going to jump back and run away. Bye. Love you, bitch.
Bloop. Love you, bitch. You're the human equivalent of a green bell pepper.
Bloop. Then we go back to dinner, and Joy is like, you know, she brings out dessert. She brings out very lovely, like a really beautiful dessert. I cannot believe she made this on this boat. And Suzanne's like, wait, Joy, hold on. You have completely blown my mind. I had a food orgasm. It was amazing. And they're like, Joy. She's like, thank you. Thank you, drunk lady. Thank you. I remember writing a curriculum about creative writing, and it starts like this. Once upon a time, there was a chef who gave me a food orgasm. It was amazing. Thank you so much.
So now the crew cabin, Luke is, he's like, oh God, look at me taking off my epaulets. For the last time.
Until tomorrow when you put them on again, when the guests say goodbye. But then it'll be the last time.
Yeah. So in the pantry, Jen and Nathan are talking about Will being the hottest guy. Maybe he's going to win. And then on the deck, Will is all the other people are going to like after party after dinner. And he's like, yeah, fuck these people. I'm going to bed. Nope. There is not enough money in the world to make me hang out with these idiots for 5 minutes longer. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's fair. So then Amy and Suzanne are talking. Amy is the matchmaker. Suzanne's like, I want to talk to you a little bit. Will and Kurt, who do you think is the best? And Amy's like, well, you don't need to ask that. No, but be my matchmaker. Who do you think is the best? Did you see that guacamole? It was just shining on the table. Amy's like, well, being a good matchmaker means telling you you're an amazing woman with strong intuition. And so follow your heart. I'll leave you be. Your men await.
Okay, Amy. Amy's like, I don't pick one man. I don't pick one terrible man for you. I pick 8 terrible men for you to choose from. So I can guarantee you this. Anyone you pick will be terrible. Okay.
I'm just going to say anything to get you out of my hair right now because there's a Sisters Marathon airing on Croatian TV right now. Have you ever seen Susie Kurtz dubbed over? It's amazing.
Now everybody's going to bed, and in the main salon, Suzanne stops to talk with Kurt, and she's like, hey, you're a really good guy, and, you know, one thing I appreciate you is you don't seem like you're someone who would put lime in a guacamole, and, you know, it's just something I just hate. And he's like, yeah, you're drunk, so maybe we should have this conversation.
She's like, what? What are you talking about? What? I was like, I didn't even drink that much. So then he's like, oops, shouldn't have called her out on that.
And now it's morning and everyone's waking up. And Sandy's like, wow, I can't wait to see who that lady chooses. Oh, Suzanne. Wow. What a bunch of choices she's got. It's going to be crazy. And then Luke is just following Joy around in the galley with puppy dog eyes. As she kind of ignores him, as she does. And he's like, what are you making? She's like,
I will tell you this. It is a road I walk, full of pain. Do you need something?
He's just standing there, like about to say something, but not. Like, he's acting like he's in Remains of the Day. And Luke is like, the toughest part of the decision to leave is not seeing Joy every morning. I know it's such a short time that I've known Joy, but she's so important to me, and I want to see her again, but I'm quite scared she doesn't want anything to do with me. I need to tell her. I just don't know what to say. Oh, please. Okay, first of all, you guys have known each other for like 2 weeks. She's so important with you. She's so important to you that you decided to fuck Jen instead. And also like get a hand job too as well, but Joy is still the important one. Please give me a break.
Yeah,
I know what it takes.
This is frustrating because also he starts to break through to Joy, you know, which really makes me crazy in this episode.
Well,
it works, you know.
Well, I was thinking
it's like
about
that
it.
Persistent, just following her around and whining. I guess it works.
It does. Well, remember she messed up last episode, so she was vulnerable. So it was probably just like nice to have this big lunk just telling her everything's going to be okay. And also, like, we can never underestimate the power of tall privilege. I mean, this guy's very tall. He's also got body for days. So, you know, those things can really do a number on you. Even if you really don't like someone, you're like, God, but they're tall and hot. It's hard to stay... hold your ground against that sometimes.
Yeah. So he's all upset following her around. And then the guests are getting ready for breakfast. And Sugar Baby's there. And Sugar Baby has won over my heart because Sugar Baby today woke up and said, you know what? I've embarrassed myself on television. And any dog lover is embarrassed for me. I'm wearing a diaper today. Let's do this. Get me a goddamn diaper, Suzanne. And she said, okay.
And then there's like the sound of shattered glass upstairs. And we rush up there and it's just Sandy. And she's standing by a table. And she's like, sorry, I just pushed a little glass off the side of the table. I just had to do it. I just had to. She's like, their paw. She's a cat. What I'm trying to say is she's a cat, Ronnie.
Oh. Sandy. She's just going to keep it going forever. I just was quiet because I ran out of cat things. It's like, wow, what else do cats do?
It's actually, that was the most cat thing of all. Like, the most cat thing of all is to be like, I'm just going to sit here quietly and let you make a fool of yourself. Was I the one who knocked the thing off the ledge? Yes. But I'll just look at you. And make you feel like you did it. God, I love cats. God, I love cats so much. They're so hilarious.
shoes. Here comes one right now.
So, people are waking up. Sugar Baby is in a diaper. And Amy and Suzanne are talking. And Amy's like, so are you leaning a certain way? And Suzanne's like, I mean, we're on a boat. We're always going to be leaning a certain sort of way. No, I mean, romantically. Oh, yes. Well, Kurt said something that really hurt my feelings last night. He said I was intoxicated. And I mean, and like, that's not how I remember. I mean, maybe I was just too drunk to remember exactly how I was being. But like, I'm pretty sure I wasn't drunk.
You were drunk. And if you're getting that offended and you're still offended the next day that someone pointed out that you were drunk, she sounds just obnoxious in real life as well as on a boat. Sometimes people come on the boat and you're like, oh, maybe they're just being obnoxious for TV. I think Suzanne's just like that. We also have a little scene of Gail calling in to Nathan and being like, I really need you. I'm so lonely. This is terrible. It's so hard doing this alone. He's like, all right. I'll try and figure something out. So then Suzanne is still talking with Amy about which guy she likes best. And she decides on Will. And she goes, but the thing is that, you know, we were going to stay up, but then Will went to bed and he didn't even say goodnight. So I need to have a talk with him and see what's going on with him.
Maybe he did say goodnight, but the guacamole was shining so much, people just didn't even notice it. So now Kaylee and Kat are cleaning, and Kaylee is just asking Kat about what she thinks about Cooper long-term or whatever. And Kat's like, I really like him, and things are, like, going really well. But I'm, like, more of a relationship person, so in the back of my head, I'm just like, I hope I don't get hurt from this. And in the front of my head, I was thinking, you're going to get hurt from this. Okay, great. I'm glad we settled that.
Yeah, this you're guy seems like so,
I'm just such a nice guy. All I want to do is settle down with a nice girl.
But he is from Charleston. So that's always been in the back of my head. Yeah. And it's impressive with this show how they can, a lot of guys come on here and you're like, douchebag, you know, you just assume. But sometimes they'll get you where it's a nice guy and then turns into a douche. So that's the mystery going on right now on this show. Is he or is he not a douche?
Well, also, even if he's not a douche, I didn't realize they lived in different countries. And I'm like, you know, yeah, it's not going to work out, Kat. So just get yourself ready for this. But she says, like, I feel like I'm sort of like at the same page as him, but like, because I was in a serious relationship that ended on bad terms, like not too long ago. And I'm kind of at like a crossroads, like inner battle vibes with myself. Like I'm having like a lot of fun with him and stuff, but like, I also like want to protect myself. So I don't know. Like if he hurts me, I want to push him off the sun deck for real though. Yeah. He's going to hurt you. We've seen the too many seasons of this show. You're going to get hurt. Like there's never been any relationship that has ended well on this show. Even Gail and Nathan, who fell in love and had a baby, she still somehow got hurt at the end of the season. So like, it's just not going to work out.
But that wasn't, you know, I think that one, that particular relationship, they never really seemed matched. I mean, Gail's like a model and I don't know. Even back when I liked Nathan, I was like, oh, but this one, they're just both such dorks. Like they're so equally matched in that cute, dorky department. It just seems like they're made for each other in that way.
It does seem like it, but
so I don't know.
They are made for each other because she is a maid on a boat. So, now, we have, Suzanne decides that she's going to pull Will for a chat. And she's like, so what happened to you last night? He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I bailed out of nowhere. I heard that there was this sisters marathon. I needed to see a ward in Croatia. And it was very important. And my social battery was just dead. And I feel so rude. I just feel so bad. She's, oh, I understand completely, which is funny because she does not understand completely. She's like still mad about this clearly. She goes, I just wanted to check in because the whole point of it was to find love. And I feel a connection with you, and I'd like to continue the conversation. And if you loved me, you would have said goodnight to me, you asshole. Anyway, let's have breakfast.
I just would have really appreciated you before going to bed, stopped and said, Suzanne, you don't seem drunk at all. That's really all I needed from you. But, you know, this whole episode is about love. And I just want to make sure I'm not going to look stupid when I pick you at the end. So I'm going to pick you and you're going to say yes, right? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. I would love to continue this conversation with you. And she's like, okay, well, we should walk off together. How about that? Okay. He's like, oh, you and I? She's like, yeah. I mean, we had the strongest connection. Am I right? Are you drunk? Okay, you know what? You're pushing me, but this is the end, so I'm going to.
You know, as strange as Amy's matchmaking charters could be, I do not judge how two people can come together. I mean, I'm at school, it's high school, we just completely bypassed each other, you know, and then I went out into the world and went through many men and many fingers up many bums. And in the end, I somehow managed to find my way back to my sweet man who loves extreme sports and me. However, anyone is lucky enough to find their person, God bless them.
She's talking like that's like some crazy story, how they met again. Like, wow.
People go through crazy things to find each other. I'm never going to judge. Look at me. I knew a guy in high school who was hot, and then I saw him later, and he was still hot, so I banged him. It's just crazy things that happen.
I feel like Aisha is, like, not even on this show anymore. I feel like, the show just happens, and from time to time, she looks to us, and she just talks to us about the show. Like, I feel like she reminds me of when I'd watch Downton Abbey, and it always start with, like, Laura Linney. And she's like, hello, welcome to Downton Abbey night. It's funny, in an old English house, love reigns supreme, but what happens when a stranger comes and visits tonight? It's Downton Abbey. I feel like that's what Aisha is now.
If you give me $5, I'll give you the box set of last season.
What a funny story. And I'm glad she finally found love. Next week on Below Deck, we'll find out what happened with those semen sheets.
So now Luke is in his cabin packing, and Nathan tries to come in, but the door is blocked by all of Luke's shit. I mean, these are the tiniest Luke. Rooms ever.
Yeah.
It's Luke's hard on blocking the door. He opens the door and he just gets covered. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
It's like Slimer. Honestly, I hate this boat. This was a terrible boat to choose. They can't film effectively in these rooms. It's not good for us. So, yeah, so Nathan sees it. He's like, oh, what the fuck happened in there? Because he sees a bag on the floor. So he's like, did he get fired? So he's like, Joe, look. He's like, look, has bags on the floor. Joe's like, maybe he's looking for something. So Nathan's like, he goes in there and he's like, what the fuck is going on in there? And Luke's like, I'm just packing my bags. I'm too much of a distraction. I'm going to leave. There's a bit of not good vibes on my side of the ecosystem. And Nathan's like, bloody hell. And I love that, like, both Sandy and Nathan, neither of them said, listen, you really messed up. We didn't like how you handled it, but you're a good deckie. You're part of the team, and we want you to grow from this. So we'd like you to reconsider. They're like, oh, okay, bye. Bye, you're leaving, bye. See you later. Yeah.
I think that Luke's plan might have been to get people to be like, oh, but he's so nice. He should stay. We should give him another chance.
He's taking responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not working out. So Luke's like, well, it's been a pleasure working with you, man. He's like, it's been nice to meet you as well, man. I'm not going to say it's been good working with you. Are you fucking crazy? So he's like, well, I can't say I'm upset. He's been bunking all over my bed. But with all that said, we pick up charter tomorrow. And in terms of just the three of us, we're totally fucked.
So Nathan goes down to Joe and Cooper sitting there in the mess. And Nathan's like, don't tell anyone I told you. Because, by the way, what's his face? Luke was like, keep it a secret. So now he's like, don't tell anyone I told you. But he's leaving us. And Coop, of course, is like, oh, what? That's crazy. That's what? And then Luke walks by and Coop goes, mighty fine smoothie. And then he looks at the camera like he's on The Office. He's like, oh, oh, oh. I'm like, real,
not
real
subtle at all, there, Cooper. Yeah.
Nothing to see here, just drinking a smoothie. It's fruits and protein blended up into a cup.
Hey, chef, you mind if you fire up the lunch? Oops, I didn't mean to say fire. I just can't quit you, cat. Oh, whoops, didn't mean to say that either. Oh, man, I guess I should keep my mouth shut. Oh.
Then he runs directly to the laundry room. He's like, oh, my God, something's happening. I can't say nothing. I'm so bad with secrets.
So then Nathan and Joe are talking about it. And Joe's like, what the actual shit? Nathan's like, he's leaving. He's bringing so much attention to the crew, so he's leaving.
What's happening here?
She's like, oh, I just walked up to my cabin and Luke's packing his bags. I said, what are you doing? And Joe's like, I really like Luke. We can work well together. But I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, love triangles never fucking work, ever. It's such a shame that it fell apart at such an astronomical level. I mean, good luck to him.
I'm like, Joe, I know you're not the one lecturing about love triangles. You're a straight line right now looking for your third dot. I'll tell you that much. So let's not hear. I don't want to hear it from Joe.
Yeah, Joe's like old man of the sea now. Old man from the sea. He knows everything. He's been through this so many times. Kids, gather around. Let Joe tell. Joe, this was like 2 weeks ago that you did this. Why are you acting?
I know.
This young sage. Man, let me teach him a lesson. So now the worry is, what if we don't have Find a Dickhead for the next trip? So Sandy gets a text back from Norma, and Norma's like, hey, good news. Yeah, nobody wants to work with you still. Sorry, but my Uber Eats did arrive. Okay. Should I have started with the bad news or the good news? And I never remember how that works.
Bloop. It's sort of, oh, well, I'm glad your Uber Eats arrived. I hope you didn't eat the delivery man too, you crazy lady.
Bloop.
Actually, the delivery guy was gorgeous. He had pecs of steel and abs as far as I could see, and we had glorious sex that night, Sandy. So yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but things are great over here. Bloop.
I can smell the tuna on your face from here. Please stop fronting. Okay.
Bloop.
Bet you'd like that, you old kitty cat, Sandy.
Bloop.
Bloop. Is that the sound of you licking yourself over text? How did you even do that?
Okay, my lover just got out of the bathroom. We're going up for round three. I'll talk to you later, bitch. Bloop.
Bye, bitch. Bloop. So then on the sun deck, Nathan is calling Sandy to the bow. So he's like, I walked into my cabin and Luke was packing his bags. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, yeah, he told me last night. Isn't Captain Sandy like the communication queen? Like, I just need the communication. I don't care if everything's going wrong. Communication is the most important thing to have among the heads of departments.
Well, I was going to tell Nathan, but then someone shined a flashlight near me, and I spent a good 25 minutes chasing that light around. It's like an animal you just can never catch. It's crazy.
I didn't even know I could walk up a wall until last night.
I did think it was weird that Luke told Sandy, but not Nathan. I mean, he told Nathan because he was discovered, but I think he should have told Nathan as well. I thought that was
pretty unusual. I think Sandy should have told Nathan as well. I think it's weird. I agree. That she's keeping Luke secret. Bizarre.
I know. So she gets roped into his manipulation because you feel like if someone says, I'd like to keep this a secret, you feel like you can't betray it because it's like now. Like, am I a person of my word? I don't break people's secrets. So you wind up in this thing where you're more concerned about your own morals than you are about like the ridiculousness of the situation.
Yeah, he was upset. I'll keep his secret. No. So Sandy's like, well, we need another person. There's no deckhands available. Jeez, we can't do this right now. We can't do it. He's like, well, we'll just go one charter without one. She's like, oh gosh, we're certainly trying, aren't we?
Here's a question. Does your baby know how to use a microwave yet? Can it make its own lunch? Because we could have Gail come on board. Don't even think about it. She stays at home. What if they do that? Are they going to do something crazy like that? Just like
have Gail come on and put the baby in a room and then
just have Captain Sandy taking care of the baby the whole time.
She'll just be rocking the baby and Gail just comes up to the baby. The baby's like, it'll be like daycare. I mean, knowing this show, they might
Bye, something. Baby, Norm is a slut. No one will touch her and there's no butts.
Captain Sandy, do we need an appropriate song for someone who's a little tweet, little tot? Thank you.
Knowing this show, they will do something wacky like that. They will be like, well, we're hiring a nanny. And it's going to be Roy Orbison Jr.'s wife. And she's going to look over the baby while Gail's on the deck. Like, it's going to be something ridiculous like that.
Gail's going to have a squeegee in one hand and a baby in the other hand.
I can do this.
Hey, everyone. This is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.